The guilty pleasure of admiring unclothed bodies is nothing new. Kathleen Morris is interim senior curator at the Clark Art Institute in Williamstown, which is now exploring how powerful and uncomfortable nude images can be.
Whether it's through the internet or through our entertainment avenues that are risque and erotic. And on the other hand, we come from very puritanical stock. And I think in America in particular, there's always been this kind of tension between those two impulses.
The new exhibition Morris helped put together at the Clark explores how that tension played out in Spain during the repressive Inquisition. WBUR's Andrea Shea reports on the masterworks on loan from a museum in Spain for this new exhibition, which is titled Splendor, Myth, and Vision, Nudes from the Prado.
The first painting you see in the Clark's new exhibition is of the goddess Fortuna by Flemish artist Peter Paul Rubens. There's no shame on her fair-skinned face as she seems to move through the painting in her birthday suit.
She is nearly life-size, full-length, looking directly out at the viewer. This is Rubens's fleshy, robust, confident female nude.
That's Clark curator Laura Yeager-Crissel. She says, like many of the nudes in this exhibition, Fortuna offers more than a bodacious body. That's how the Spanish kings who collected them saw her, too.
Fortuna represents fortune, chance, luck, fate. She is, you know, the invariability of life. And Rubens shows her bouncing on a crystal ball in a stormy ocean, lightning breaking in the background. So, in fact, she became a source of contemplation for the rulers. So it's this way that the nude is able to operate on many different levels.
Yeager-Crissel says those levels allowed royalty to collect these luscious, some might say lewd works. They're sensual, but also sophisticated and spiritual, depicting stories from mythology and the Bible. King Philip II, and later his grandson, Philip IV, had extreme tastes for top-notch nudes and commissioned them from some of the greatest artists in Europe. How they pulled it off in 16th and 17th century Spain reveals a complicated chapter in history. The Inquisition deemed nudity sinful, and Yeager-Crissel notes that kings were expected to promote morality.
They were Catholic kings, and their roles publicly as representatives, as defenders of the Catholic Church, that public role had to coexist with their private taste.
This exhibition takes a scholarly deep dive into why and how kings collected, displayed, and at times even hid their nudes. They created special private spaces known as salas reservadas. King Philip IV hung Rubens's Fortuna in his hunting lodge.
The king was allowed in there, of course. Close members of the royal family who may have gone hunting with him. A very limited audience.
What about the queen?
The queen was not allowed. And we do have a reference in the earlier part of the 17th century that when the queen did go into a sala reservada, many of these paintings were covered up with a curtain.
Yeager-Crissel says the private viewing rooms evolved over time, depending on who was in power. She and the other curators didn't know they existed until they started developing the show with the Prado Museum. King Philip II created a sala reservata in his palace called the Titian Vaults. One of the most provocative paintings in this show hung there, Venus with an organist and Cupid. In it, a skillfully rendered nude goddess reclines on a luxurious bed.
Venus is lounging, you know, propped up on her side. Her full body is visible for us. There's a sense of softness to it. She has folds in her skin. She's thick in some places. All that she's wearing are jewels, pearls throughout her hair. I mean, she's just adorned by jewels and her own beauty and not much else.
A young musician sits at a pipe organ at the foot of her bed, craning his neck to stare.
He has paused from his playing. You know, she is nude, and he's looking directly at her genitals, basically.
The paintings here aren't just of nude women. There are some barely clad males, too. One painting of Hercules shows the god from behind. His muscular backside is exposed and tensed as he raises a club to defeat his nude opponent. Quite a difference from the sultry, dimpled Venus, a point not lost on museum visitors Jean and Robert Poppy.
It's interesting to come into
this room, where there's the contrast between the sort of eroticism of the female figure as object and the male body as hero and strong and powerful.
Not that we have that in our society
no,
today.
Of course not. No. No, completely foreign to us.
Another visitor, Rachel Cohan, understands how these nudes could be seen as a kind of highbrow porn for the powerful.
Of course, it sounds like pornography of the period of the Spanish Inquisition, right? On the other hand, they're painted by great artists, so there's a lot in them. But it is a really interesting contrast between the rigors of the Inquisition and the existence of these paintings and these guys collecting these paintings.
If they were understood or enjoyed in an erotic way, it doesn't mean I think they could also be enjoyed in a more intellectual way.
This is curator Jaeger Crisselt again.
And that's that ambivalence which exists on every level.
What is for sure, though, is that painting a nude was seen as the highest form of artistic achievement, and the kings who collected nudes knew that. By the end of the 17th century, the curator says the publicly pious Catholic monarchs were able to amass more than 5,000 paintings, most of them nudes, despite the Inquisition.
They were just so powerful that they were beyond it.
But not all of the Spanish kings had a thing for nudes. Philip III ordered them removed to protect his virtue. In the 18th century, Kings Charles III and IV tried to destroy the paintings. Court artists saved them in a sala reservada. If they hadn't stashed them away, these masterpieces might not be here to titillate onlookers centuries later in Williamstown. For 90.9 WBUR and The Artery, I'm Andrea Shea.